Hello, this is Robbie Lee.
And Sam.
Welcome once again to Third Row from the Front. Today's movie is The First Omen. And it is, as the title suggests, a prequel to The Omen. If you've never seen The Omen, it's, I think it came out in the 1970s. It's a movie about basically the birth of the, or not the birth, but like the Antichrist. And how he is adopted, unknowingly, of course, by this ambassador, U.S. ambassador, played by Gregory Peck and his wife. And, you know, as he grows older, it starts to become pretty apparent there's something off about Damien. Yeah, it turns out he's the Antichrist. And I guess there were multiple films, like sequels, where he becomes this powerful. I think he becomes president eventually, or he becomes a president, presidential nominee. But then there was a remake with Julia Stiles. I never saw that one. But yeah, so that's what the original Omen was about. And then, so this movie is a prequel to that. So it's about the, I guess, how he came to be birthed, how he came to be brought into this world. And it stars Nell Tiger Free, I believe is her name. And she, we know her from Servant, which was this Apple TV show. She was really good in that. But she's been in other stuff, but that's basically where we know her from. She's a young actress. She seems really young. I think she's probably in her mid to late 20s. But so she plays this nun from the U.S. who travels to Italy. She, you know, obviously she's there to become like a nun to like, I forget what the term is, but to become like an official nun. And she has this roommate who's this kind of crazy Italian girl who's also going to be a nun, or also is a nun, I think. And no, she's going to become one. And anyway, so they, you know, what's funny is as I'm telling this, I'm getting it confused with another movie that we saw recently called Immaculate, because I will be honest, the plot lines are very similar.
Yeah.
But we'll get into that when we discuss the movie. But anyway, eventually the some weird stuff starts happening, as it always does in these convents and horror movies. And there's this little girl that's not remembering. There's this little girl who is kind of like the bad kid in the convent. So it's like a school too. I guess they teach these kids. And there's this little girl that's kind of known as the bad kid. And everyone's trying to warn this, you know, Nell Tiger Free's character about her, like saying she's bad, like stay away from her. She's trouble. And of course, Nell Tiger Free's character is drawn to this girl because she herself was a bad kid in school. And so she kind of befriends her, and they form this kind of close relationship. All the while, you know that as the movie begins, there was this, basically this plan to like bring about this, I guess this carrier of the future, what do you call it? The future Antichrist. So, there's questions as to, is that who this girl is? You know, what's going on? And it's this kind of like, there's this conspiracy going on to bring about, again, like I said, the Antichrist to the world. But, yeah, we'll get more into the details of that without giving too much away as we go along. But Sam, what did you think of The First Omen?
I liked it. I didn't think it was particularly scary, but there were some like creepy parts.
There were
like, things in the shadows and stuff.
Yeah, it was mostly jump scares is what they were, really.
Yeah, and like the images, they did scare me. Like they did kind of freak me out. But I wasn't like super scared after watching this one. But it was a good film. I liked it. I really liked the lead actress. She was in The Servant, or in Servant, that Apple TV show, right? That's what it was?
Yeah.
And she was really good in that because she was creepy in her own weird way in that show. And so I feel like she was like perfect for this because she seems so innocent. Like she always just looks like fresh face, like no makeup, just like an innocent young girl, just pure and tries to be nice. And there's this whole other sinister thing brewing with her character. It's just so weird. But it was cool to see her in this movie. I thought she did a really good job. I don't know. Like, I don't want to give, like, anything away. I thought it was a fun movie to watch. It was cool. I liked it. I wouldn't say it's, like, my favorite movie or anything. Like I said, it wasn't particularly scary for me. But I was telling my parents, we may be desensitized to a lot of these, like, horror movies because we watch a lot of horror movies and we just watch a lot of movies in general. So we kind of already start guessing, like, what's going to happen. Like, there was something that I had already figured out, like, kind of like midway through the movie. But that's just because, like, I don't know. I just feel like we see a lot of this stuff so we could kind of guess where the storyline's going. But it didn't ruin it for me or anything. I still had fun watching it. I liked it. I thought it was pretty cool. But it may be scary for people who don't like to see, like, religious stuff, maybe. Like my dad. Like, I know, like, this, he would probably not like this movie. But yeah, I liked it. I would recommend it. It was a fun watch.
Yeah, I liked it too. I think I would have liked it more. Again, I mentioned this earlier. I think I would have liked it more had we not just seen Immaculate. I feel like it was really weird how similar these movies were to each other. I mean, almost identical in plot lines, except that in Immaculate, spoiler alert, they're trying to bring about Jesus Christ. They're trying to, like, bring about, like, his, you know, basically the second coming of Jesus Christ. And in this one, they're doing the opposite. But it's just weird, like, how similar, again, that they were, without giving too much away, you know, there's, like, an unwitting and unknowing person that's used to bring about this being. And they both kind of deal with, like, basically men's control over women's bodies. So I mean, there's no other way to say that. It's essentially like a pro-choice movie with nuns in it. It's really weird how both of them have that same. They're not only similar in plot, but they're similar in the kind of the message that they're kind of pushing forth. I did like some of the dialogue here. Like, I love the way Nell Tiger Free's character talks to this girl that's supposedly bad girl, because she's like, you're not a bad girl. They call you bad because you're not doing what they want you to do. And I was like, that's such a cool line, because, mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, you know, there are actually bad kids who are just shitty kids. But in this particular instance, yeah, it's because there are these nuns and they have these strict rules and they tell you what to do and you're supposed to just obey. And this little girl didn't obey, so they call her a bad girl. She's a bad kid. Mm-hmm. So I love that line, because it's just such a, like, fuck you to the, you know, to the man, you know. Yeah, they call you bad because you're not falling in line. You're not doing what I asked you to do, which comes in to play later. But I think it's what you were referring to. I was going to say there's this plot twist that happens, like, 2/3 of the way in the movie, and I saw it coming, like, within the first 15 minutes, I was like, I already know what this twist is going to be, because yeah. It's so obvious that I almost felt insulted that it was that supposed to be a twist, because everyone that's watching this knows already. But anyway, so that was kind of funny to me that it was supposed to be this big reveal. And I was like, yeah, we already knew that. Because they really build it up. But what was the other thing I was going to say? Oh, in both of these movies, Immaculate and in this movie, I think more so in Immaculate, there's a lot of, like, body horror, and there's a lot of, like,
yeah, like, you see, like a birth kind of. Yeah. It was pretty crazy.
Yeah. And you don't know if it's like real or imagined.
Yeah.
I think you figure out later it's imagined, but it's like almost like prophetic. It was like prophetic. It was like something that you're maybe seeing. Maybe, yeah, you're right. Maybe was it one of these things that I won't divulge here because I don't want to give it away. But yeah, it's a pretty graphic birth scene.
I thought it was really cool.
It was
cool. It grossed me out. It was like freaking me out. But afterwards, I was like, that was pretty cool. That they showed that.
It was really cool. Yeah. For us. But for some people, there, I could see somebody like being grossed out or passing out or whatever. But then again, it's like a twist on this whole like miracle of birth thing that people are like, oh, it's a beautiful thing. I'm like, yeah, is it though? Mm-hmm. It looks really awful. And you barely get a glimpse of it too. But it's just like what's imagined. And just all the
and
pain.
And I liked that whole scene too, because they're kind of teasing you with it. Yeah. Like, oh, are they going to show it or not? Because they really don't show it for the most part. Yeah. Like, you're kind of seeing like the backs of the nurses and the doctors like in the way. So you're just kind of like left to imagine like what's happening. And then they show you. And it's very jarring.
Yeah. And it's like, it's quick, but you're like, whoa, I just saw that. Again, very similar to Immaculate in that the birth scenes are just like insane because you see the births in both of them.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like they went about it in different ways, but there's a lot of screaming involved. And it asked a lot of these actresses, and they did. I think they both did a really good job.
Yeah, there's a scene of in this movie with the what's her name,
Nell Tiger Free.
Yeah, where her body's just kind of like changing, and you don't even know really what's happening to her, but she's just like in the middle of the street, convulsing and screaming for a good like minute, and I was like, dang, like how does she do that? Like she did a good job.
Yeah. She did a really good job, just like Sydney Sweeney did. But again, I can't stop talking about it because it's just so weird that these movies both opened maybe a month apart, I would say, and they're both so similar. It almost feels like one was trying to beat the other out because they both knew like, oh shit, we have essentially the same movie coming out. It's like two different versions of the same movie, I would say. But it's weird. It reminds me of like when Ants and A Bug's Life came out the same year and we're like, wait, are these two animated films about ants? That's so weird. Like, what are the odds of that? But anyway, it's probably a bad example, but, yeah, this one was good. There were some creepy moments. Like you said, that there was this whole moment with like the shadows, that freaks me out. I think that's one of the freakiest things to me is when like something slowly emerges from the shadows. It gives me like the creeps because your eyes have to kind of keep readjusting to what they're seeing. You're like, what am I seeing here? And then it's like, oh yeah, that's a face. Yeah, that's something coming out of the shadows. Now I will say, in this particular screening that we saw, we were having some technical difficulties, there was this whole scene where she's looking, Nell Tiger Free's character is looking for records, and she's kind of looking, you know, it's that scene where they're looking in somebody's office that they're not supposed to be in, and they only have so much time, and so she's looking for these records, she finds a secret door, and we're like, oh my God, what is she going to find? And then the screen cuts to black, and it works in the context of the movie. You're like, okay, this could be like the end of this scene and the start of a new scene. But then as the sound kept playing and you just hear the music and it's still black screen, 5 seconds in, usually they don't stay on the black screen for that long. We start looking at each other and it's like, I think that we're having an issue. And we had already seen the issue start during the pre-show because there was some clips showing and the video cut out, but you could still hear the audio. So sure enough, that whole scene, there's no dialogue, so we can't even hear what's going on, but you know something's going on because you hear like, you know, objects being like slammed into or clattered, and you hear like yelling and screaming. And this goes on for a good, what, like 5 minutes? before finally somebody realized you had to get up. Anyway, we had to let them know. You let them know. I say we. I didn't do anything.
Nobody did anything. Everybody just sat in their seats. I was like, oh, if nobody's going to do anything. So I got up and went to
I think everyone was just waiting for one of the servers to come so they could tell them. But nobody was coming. So anyway, so they finally fix it. And then, of course, they fix it. And it's 5 minutes after the original scene started. So we're like, everyone's just looking around like, so we're not going to see what just happened? Like, because all of a sudden, she's locked in a room, and we're like...
kept going.
And we're like, how did she end up in this room? Like, what happened? So, like you said, it just kept playing, and then I think you had to finally tell them, like, hey, are you going to, like, rewind it? And he's like, oh, yeah, they're going to rewind it. So then they rewound it, but it's like a Blu-ray or a DVD where you just, like, hit the back button. They didn't actually like rewind it to where we left off. So it's like the whole scene started all over. So basically it jumped to like 15 minutes prior. And I was like, oh my God. Like it basically went back to a scene we had already watched. So we got to see the rest of the movie, thankfully. But what's funny is that, speaking of the shadows, there was a couple of scenes where, again, it went to black, or it went to an almost black screen. And I think we started looking at each other like, is it happening again? But then finally you start to see like a little color in the scene, and you're like, oh, okay, it's we're meant to be looking at like a really dark wall in this room or a corner of this room. But it happened like two or three more times where I got scared and thought, this is gonna, like, it, the movie's messed up again. Because this wouldn't be the first time that we had a movie where we didn't get to finish it. It was that the last voyage of the Demeter. We never got to watch the end of that movie because movie screwed up, and then they just came in and were like, yeah, we can't fix it for some reason. Like, sorry, here's some coupons. And we're like, really? So anyway, that kind of, it didn't ruin the movie experience. It just kind of interrupted it. And there's nothing worse than like interrupting the flow of a movie. Like, that's why I hate pausing movies, or, you know, it's like, you just pause it like in the most, especially like intense moment.
New movie.
That's what I'm saying. Like, when a movie you've never seen before, it kills the momentum that it's building. Like, directors and writers work on building this momentum, and then you just kill it by like blacking out the screen, and now we have to go back and rewatch it. Like, it just like, it ruins that whole sequence. You're like, yeah, okay, we already know. We already saw this, and we heard something going on, so it's not a huge surprise. But anyway, that being said, I enjoyed this movie, but it's going to always be colored by Immaculate, which I think was the better film, in my opinion, because it was – I think I liked the ending to that more, just because I wasn't expecting it. I kind of was, but I wasn't. This one – because it's a prequel, you know it has to end a certain way. Like, you know Damien's going to be born, obviously. That's the whole point. And then they have to do the little tie-in where it leads into the first movie. So they even show Gregory Peck's picture. It's like, oh, you know, this is going to be the ambassador that's going to adopt the baby. And I'm like, yeah, I know. That's Gregory Peck from the original movie. It's funny that his estate agreed to using his image for the movie, but and then they say his, you know, Damien's name, and you're supposed to be this big like da-da, but of course we all know that that's how it was gonna end. But so it's good. It wasn't my favorite nun antichrist movie of the year, but it'll do.
Yeah, I'd say Immaculate was better for me too, but I still enjoyed this movie. Yeah. I still liked it.
I enjoyed it too. It actually made me want to rewatch Omen, which I haven't seen in a really long time. Yeah, and they reintroduced that famous Omen music. You know which one I'm talking about. Yeah. It's like the Latin, sounds all demonic or satanic or whatever. But anyway, that was pretty cool. It was a good movie. It was, I'll tell you this, it was way better than I thought it was gonna be.
Yeah, same.
It was a well made film. It wasn't like, because there's been a lot of, you know, like satanic type movies or like possession type movies that have come out, and they just are pretty cheesy or pretty crappy. Yeah. This one was actually pretty good. It was actually really well made, really well acted. But yeah, I recommend it as well. I recommend it even if you've seen Immaculate. If you haven't seen Immaculate, I highly recommend it because it'll be a surprise to you.
Yeah.
But it was just so funny. I was watching this like, wow, this is really, really similar. But was there anything else you wanted to add about the first Omen? Yeah, first Omen in theaters now. Rated R, obviously. But be sure to follow us on Instagram at Third Row From The Front. Also, subscribe to our podcast. That way you're always sure to get our newest episodes. And we'll talk to you next time on Third Row From The Front.
Bye.